Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. This is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, 13a, and we are about seven lines down from the top on the last skinny line. Now we have been learning, we've been going verse by verse through the Megillah of Esther. And at the end of our last recording, we talked about the fact that the Megillah calls Mordechai an Ish Yehudi, a Jewish man. And we discussed whether that means that he comes from the tribe of Judah, which is one possibility, although he also possibly comes from the tribe of Binyamin, of Benjamin. Or the other possibility is that he's called a Yehudi because he rejects idolatry, Avodah Zarah. And anyone who rejects idolatry is known as a Yehudi. So we're going to continue that inquiry now with another verse that talks about someone as a Jew. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, ki hava patach b'divrei hayamim, when he would open up his class teaching Divrei Hayamim. Now, Divrei Hayamim is the last book of Tanakh. It's sometimes called Chronicles. And in our Tanakhim, it's split into Chronicles 1 and Chronicles 2. And it is not widely studied. So it's nice to see that somebody, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi at least, was giving classes in Divrei Hayamim. Amar, he would say, Amar Hachi, he would say like this, Kol Dvarecha, all of your words, O Chronicles, Echad Heim, they are one, Va'anu Yodim Ledorshan, and we know how to explain them. And what he means by this is that Chronicles has a lot of information that seems to be new, that repeats information that we have earlier in the Tanakh, but seems to add additional information. And Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi's approach was that many of the extra names and words that are in Chronicles are sometimes referring to the same thing. You just have to know when they're referring to something different and when they're referring to something that's the same. And he's going to give an example. This is Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Chronicles 1, chapter 4, verse 18. And it's giving a genealogy of the children of Kalev. Kalev was one of the 12 spies. He and Yehoshua were the only spies that stood up against the other spies and said, Alo na'aleh, we can go up and conquer the land of Israel. So Kalev was rewarded. He and Yehoshua were the only ones of the generation of the desert that actually got to go in and settle the land of Israel. So here's what it says about Kalev. It says, V'ishto ha'yehudia, his Jewish wife, Yalda et Yered, gave birth to Yered, who was Avi Gedor, the father of Gedor, v'es Chever, and Chever, Avi Socho, the father of Socho, v'et Yekutiel, Avi Zenoach, and Yekutiel, the father of Zenoach, and then it says, and these, B'nei Bitya, are the children of Bitya, Bat Paro, the daughter of Paro, Asher Lakach Mared, who married Mared. So we have a couple of problems here. What we learn from here is, and this is true, that Kalev, or it seems to be true, that Kalev married Bitya, the daughter of Paro. Now, Bitya, the daughter of Paro, is the woman who found Moshe in his basket on the Nile and brought him into Pharaoh's house in the first place. In fact, that's how we know that her name is Bitya, because it says it here in Chronicles. But then it says, earlier in the verse, Ishtoa Yehudia, his Jewish wife. Is his Jewish wife the same woman as Bitya, the daughter of Paro? And if Kalev is married to Bitya, the daughter of Paro, then why does the verse say that she was married by a guy named Mered, if she was married by Kalev? So we have a number of problems in this verse, and Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi is going to explain them. Amai Karile Yehudia, why did it call Bitya, the daughter of Paro, a Jewish woman? Al shum shekafra be'avodah zarah, because she rejected idolatry. She rejected the idolatry of her father's house, and according to our tradition, she converted to Judaism. Dichtiv, as it is written, Vatered bad paro lirchot al hayor, the daughter of Paro went down to bathe by the Nile River. That's where she found Moshe's basket. V'am Rabbi Yochanan says she wasn't just going to bathe for cleanliness. She yardar lirchot migilule beit aviha. She went down to cleanse herself from the disgusting idolatry of her father's house. In other words, she was going to the mikvah, says Rashi, in order to convert to Judaism. So she was known as Ishto Yehudia, his Jewish wife, not because she came from the tribe of Judah, but because she rejected idolatry, and therefore she's known as a Yehudia. Now, if we're talking about Bitya, the daughter of Paro, she is not Moshe's mother. So it says here that she gave birth to Yered. We're going to see in a minute that the Gemara is going to associate Yered with Moshe. But if you associate Yered with Moshe, you have a problem, because Bitya is not his mother. So the Gemara asks, Yalda, she gave birth to him. The Haribuye Ribite, she only raised him. Yes, she was a mother figure to him. She took him out of the Nile and brought him into Pharaoh's house and raised him, but she did not give birth to him. Lomar lecha, the Gemara says, this comes to teach you, shekol hamagadel yatom v'yatoma betoch beito, anyone who raises an orphan or an orphan boy or an orphan girl in his house, male alav hakatuv, the Torah considers it tantamount, ki'ilu yilado, as if they gave birth to him. And this is a nice statement about adoption, or about people that are unable to have children, that the Torah considers the raising of an orphan child to be as laudatory as having your own children. I don't know if that makes anyone feel better, but it's a nice idea. So now the Gemara, it's a little bit out of order, but the Gemara explains, Yered ze Moshe. So when we said that Ishtoa Yehudia, his Jewish wife, that's Bitya, the daughter of Paro. And when it says that she gave birth to Yered, Yered is Moshe, and she didn't give birth to him, she just raised him. So Vilama Nikra Shemo Yered, why do we call Moshe with the name Yered? So the Gemara says, Sheyarad Lahem Li Israel Man Biyamav, that in his days, the man came down from the heavens for the Jewish people. So he was known as Yared because the man came down. Yared means it comes down. Now, this is an interesting teaching. You know, there were three gifts that the Jewish people had in the desert. One was the man, one was the cloud, and one was a well of water that went with them everywhere they went. And we have a tradition that each one of these gifts was connected to one of the siblings. So the well of water was by the righteousness of Miriam, and the cloud was by the righteousness of Aaron, and the man fell all 40 years in the desert by the virtue of Moshe. So this teaching that the man falling down in his days is connected to Moshe is consistent with other teachings about Moshe. However, there is an alternate girsa. The Hagos Hagra brings a different version, and he says that the reason that Moshe was known as Yered is Shehorid Torah Lisrael, because he brought the Torah down from heaven to the Jewish people, and that's why he was known as Yered. So it could be either one of those versions. Now, similarly to what we did in our previous recording with Mordechai, we're going to understand all the other names in the verse to be referring to Moshe. Not to his siblings or to his parents, but that each one of them is about a personal characteristic of Moshe. So Gedor is the next one. So we said that she gave birth to Yered, who was the father of Gedor. So rather than saying that he's the father of Gedor, we say that Gedor refers to an aspect of Moshe's personality. She gadar pirtzotehen shel Yisrael, that he helped fence in vulnerabilities of Israel, that the areas where the Jewish people were not keeping the Torah or were not doing the will of God, he helped them close those gaps. And then the next one is Chever, Shechiber Yisrael Lavian, that he connected the Jewish people, Lavian Shabashamayim, to their father that was in heaven. That was another thing that Moshe did. The next, and then we said Chever is the father of Socho. It spells it slightly differently here. And the first time it meant, in the verse, it spells Socho with a sin. But here it spells it with a samech, and that's pretty consistent. In the Torah, we use the word samech, like with sota, and in the later Hebrew in the times of the Gemara, they often switch out the samech with the sin with a samech. So socho shenaaseh lahen l'Yisrael kesukah, that he was a protective, like a protector of the Jewish people, that he protected them like a sukkah protects you from the elements. Yekutiel. The next name in the verse was Yekutiel, Shekavu Yisrael Lael Biyamav, that he gave the Jewish people hope to God in his days, and Zanoach, Shehizniach Avonotehen Shel Yisrael, that he cast off the sins of the Jewish people. He helped them get rid of their sins. Now, some of these names, not all of them, but some of these names are consistent with other teachings about Moshe, where we say that Moshe has seven different names in the Torah. Among them, Yered and Yekutiel are mentioned as some of the alternative names of Moshe. I think in one of the Gemaras, I think in Chagiga, it says that Yekutiel was his real name or his birth name, but I don't know. I don't remember for sure. Okay, the next idea the Gemara has, though, is in each of these cases, it has the word Avi. So it said, Yered is Avi Gedor, and it said, Chever is Avi Socho, and Yekutiel is Avi Zanoach. So Avi, 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 three Avis. Why? That to teach you that Moshe was Av B'Torah, he was the master of Torah. Av B'Chachma, he was the master of wisdom. Av B'Neviut, and he was the master of prophecy. He had these three gifts as well. And then the conclusion of the verse says, Ve'ela B'nei Bitya, Asher Lakach Mered, and these are the children of Bitya, who married Mered. V'chi Mered Shemo, but was Mered the name of her husband? V'halo Kalev Shemo. Wasn't his name Kalev? And this section in Divrei Yamim is dealing with the children of Kalev. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Holy One, Yavo Kalev Shemarad Be'atzat Miraglim, let Kalev, who rebelled against the advice of the spies, all 10 of the spies said, we can never conquer the land of Israel, except for Kalev and Yoshua. So they rebelled against the conventional wisdom and the majority. V'yisa et bat paro, et bitya bat paro, let him marry Bitya, the daughter of Paro. Some people add in that extra word, Bitya. Shemarda begilulei beit aviha. She rebelled against the idolatry of her father's house. So they are a good match because each one of them was not afraid of going against the conventional wisdom and of rejecting what the majority view was to embrace the truth. So they were a good match for each other, Kalev and Bitya. So the next verse in the Megillah referring to Mordechai is Asher Heglam Yerushalayim, that he was exiled from Jerusalem. Amar Rava, says Rava, Shegala Me'atzmo, he exiled himself, meaning he was not among those that were driven into exile, but he chose to go into exile to be with his compatriots, the Jewish people, and to help them return to the land of Israel. In the next verse of the Megillah, we learn about we are introduced to Esther. Vayihi Omein at Hadassah, and he was taking care of raising Hadassah. That's what we learn. So the Megillah says, Karila Hadassah. Here it calls her Hadassah. V'Karila Esther. And then afterwards it calls her Esther. So which is her real name? Tanya, we learn in a Braita. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Esther Shema. Her real name was Esther. V'lama Nikra Shema Hadassah. So then why was she called Hadassah? Hadassah is a nickname. So what's the reason for the nickname? Al Shem Hatzadikim. She was called Hadassah because she was one of the righteous people. Shinikru Hadassim, righteous people are called Hadassim, which means myrtle branches. As it says, V'chein hu omer, as it says in the book of Zechariah, V'hu omeid bein ha-Hadassim, the angel of God, or the presence of God, stood among the myrtle branches. So just like the angel of God stands among the myrtle branches, so Hashem likes to be near the righteous people. So she was called Hadassah because she was one of the righteous people of that generation. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hadassah Shema. Hadassah was her real name. V'lama Nikret Shema Esther. And why was she called Esther? So Esther is her nickname. So we're going to give two answers to why she's called Esther. The first one is Al Shem Shahaita Misateret Devareha, because she hid her words. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in the next daf, that she did not reveal her origin, where she came from, or that she was Jewish. So there were a lot of things about Esther that were hidden. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that her name was Esther. Shenemar, ain Esther magedet et amaviat molata, that Esther didn't tell her people or where she was born. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, Hadassah Shema, he agrees that Hadassah is her real name. V'lamani kreit Esther, why was she called Esther? What's the reason for that nickname? Shayu umot ha'olam korin ota al shum Estahar. This was a nickname by the nations of the world. They called her Esther based on this word Estahar. So not 100% clear what Estahar means. Estahar could be referring to the moon. It could be referring to a star that shines. Or it could be referring to Ishtar, which was a goddess, you know, a goddess in the religion at that time. Her name, in this, according to this teaching, her name comes from non-Jewish sources that they called her Esther, and that's why her name is called that in the Megillah. Ben Azai says, Esther, lo arucha velo kitzara. She was not tall and she was not short. She was just, you know, medium. Haita, ela benonit, but she was medium. Kehadasa, like a Hadassah. I don't know why a Myrtle is especially average, but Ben Azai says she was just perfectly average, and that's why she was known as a Hadassah. Maybe he thinks Esther was her real name and her nickname was Hadassah, or also just thinks that the Megillah is describing her as Hadassah because she was very average and ordinary. Of course, we know that she was nothing like that, but that's how Ben Azai understands her name. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says something even more surprising. He says, Esther yirak roket haita. Esther had a greenish complexion. I don't think that it means like the wicked witch of the east, that she was green, or the wicked witch of the west, I forget which one it is. But she had a sickly complexion, kind of like a Hadassah, like a myrtle branch. It was kind of greenish. However, the chut shel chesed mashuch aleha. Despite the fact that she really wasn't so physically attractive, she had this chut shel chesed, a string of kindness that extended from her. So she had this effect on everyone who saw her or everyone who talked to her, that everyone loved her. And it wasn't because she was so physically attractive or charming in that, that she wasn't physically charming because of her looks, but that she had this chut shel chesed, she had some indefinable charismatic quality that made everyone love her. We'll stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.